Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of this show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. My topic today, October 2nd, 2016, is home improvements and home improvement loans. Let me start by saying your home is an investment in living as well as in savings. By the time you pay these mortgages, though, and do the regular upkeep in your home, you know, paying someone to mow the lawn and all sorts of things like that, having your heating units and air conditioning units checked annually with a contract, people say they don't save much, especially paying taxes, homeowners insurance. People think that they don't save much by owning a home. But I got to say again, let me start by saying your home is an investment in living as well as in savings. Any home will begin to show wear and tear depending on the age of the home and the number of occupants living in the home. A home with two occupants should show less wear on the inside than a home with 10 occupants. However, on the outside, a home, depending upon its age, will begin to show signs of wear and tear due to exposure to weather and the elements. Now, by the elements, you know I mean sun and hail and rain and storms. I'm assuming here that the home was indeed well built in the beginning, when it was purchased, and that, you know, when it was purchased, it was brand new. So I'm assuming the home was well built in the beginning when you purchased it, and that when it was purchased, it was brand new, even though I do know a lot of people buy used homes. And if you buy a home that's already 7 or 8 years built, or even 10 years, that house is going to need some work. And the sellers will do a lot of cosmetic work to the home, not too much out-of-pocket work, but they'll do some cosmetic work to the home so that the home will sell. But in this show, I'm talking about a brand new home. Now, our home was purchased brand new and built from the ground up 20 years ago. We are in a location that is somewhat windy, and our home is on a large man-made lake. So after 18 years, we decided to replace our roof because it was showing, what I said before, wear and tear. The shingles were brittle and standing straight up during a windstorm. Our neighbor witnessed that and gave us a call, even though I knew and they were breaking. The shingles were also breaking. When you buy a home, they say a roof might last anywhere from 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, but it doesn't mean it needs to stay on top of your house all those many years because, like I said, a roof will start showing wear and tear. So after 18 years, we decided to replace our roof. And like I said, also, a homeowner must be observant about what's going on the outside of their home and in the case of one's roof, water damage from a bad roof can create structural damage to the home and create a mold condition. This can destroy a home if left unintended, and it will become a huge expense to correct. Now, I got to be honest with you. Something that I do is I walk around my house and I look at the ceilings. okay? Walk around your home. Take a look at the ceilings in your bathrooms, rooms that you never go in, closets, you know. And also, during a rainstorm, walk around the outside of your home and see where the water is going. Is there water dripping somewhere that's not supposed to be dripping? Say, instead of going into your guttering, the water is dripping directly from your roof, because that water can actually backlog and go either through your windows and into the structural walls of your home. And like I said, any of that type of damaged water will destroy your home. Everybody knows that based upon seeing all this flooding recently in various states across the United States. So at any rate, so today I decided maintaining one's home is a financial fitness topic. I decided to talk about it because maintaining your home is a financial fitness topic, and you got to be financially fit in order to do it, in order to make home improvements. I want to share an experience we had recently, a windstorm or tornado that moved along the southeastern coast of the United States early in September 2016 did some damage to my home. My husband Donald discovered that siding from our home was out in the middle of the street. I mean, he was appalled. And then I went outside and checked it out, and surely enough, we had some siding missing off the side of our home. I immediately called my insurance company to learn if our homeowner's policy would cover the missing siding. And, of course, we were now told our deductible during a windstorm is $5,000. So if we did not have $5,000 worth of damage, we would not be covered. And that $5,000 figure is supposedly 2% of the value of our home, which is something like $250,000. Now, I misread that. I got to be honest with you. I thought it said we would only have to pay $2,000, 2% of $5,000 worth of damage. Say if there were $5,000 worth of damage, our amount we'd have to pay would be 2% of $5,000, not no $5,000 being 2% of the value of our home, and then that would be our deductible when it comes to certain damage. And that brings me to another issue, which is understanding how to read your insurance policies. If you don't understand that or you can't, the best thing to do is to have your attorney go over it, okay, for you. And so immediately, like I said, the answer from the insurance company was no. But they did refer us to someone who would put up an emergency tarp to cover the area until we could get it fixed. And that was very important, too, because another water storm came about 3 days later. And having the tarp up there helped, even though that storm gave that tarp a run for its money. Some of the tarp started falling apart. So anyway, knowing we would have to pay for this repair, which is replacing the missing siding, out of our pocket, because we knew this, I began calling home improvement companies in my local Hampton Roads, Virginia area. And here was our exposure with the when the first company arrived. I'm going to explain to you our experience, actually, with the first company that arrived. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of the company, but I would say to you that a young man from the company arrived, and at 10 a.m. we had a 10 a.m. appointment with this young man. Okay, he talked until 2 p.m. just about himself and the company. All right, so he gave us a 4-hour talk before he ever even went outside to take a look at what we would need. Okay. Then he finally went outside and saw the condition of our home, what he felt was the condition of our home, and he began telling us what we would need and making promises as to what his company can do. And basically what he was telling us is that his company could practically give us an all-new outside to our home. Like, we'd get have new siding, new doors, new windows, all sorts of coverings over the windows to protect them and things like that. And when he finally finished talking, he had been in our home for 9 hours, okay? 7 p.m. at night, he was still talking. By this time, he had actually called his company to see if we would qualify for the amount of loan that he said we would need to get the work done. And including in this loan was all sorts of discounts for letting them put a sign outside our home for 30 days and blah, 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 blah. So the amount of the home improvement loan, according to him, came up to $45,000. And like I said, that did include new siding on 3 sides of our home and something like 17 windows that I think he was able to bring down to 14 windows if we consolidated 3 windows and turned them into 1 instead of 2. And it also included, according to what he said, new doors and things like that. But the contract we were beginning to sign was really, in my opinion, only for the amount of money that we would pay. That contract did not describe all the work that he said was going to be done. And see, that's important, because when these contractors come to your home, and I'm not saying this young man was dishonest. We trusted him. We trusted him, but when they come down to your home and they tell you they're going to do this and they're going to do that, that's like making a promise, okay? And when you sign a contract to pay, that's what you're doing as well. You're making a promise to pay them the amount they say will be due for the amount of work that they're going to do. Okay. Now, but that contract did not delineate the work he said was going to be done. He just basically told us word of mouth what was going to be done. And then the contract would have said siding, windows, and what type of window, a picture window in the living room or blah, blah, blah. So at any rate, when this young man decided to leave, like I said, it was 9 hours later, and they had already called up and said we could get approved for a $45,000 loan, which in my opinion would have come up to approximately $57,000, depending on even the most minimal interest over a period of, I think, the 6 years or whatever it is that we were supposed to pay. And, of course, you pay more in interest the longer the term of the loan. So if you're paying off $45,000 in 20 years, that $45,000 is going to turn into $90,000. But in my opinion, the $45,000 would have turned into at least $57,000. So meanwhile, I happened to call one of my neighbors who had gotten some siding done on his home. Now, like I said, we have 1 side brick and only 3 sides siding. My neighbor has 3 sides siding, and he actually had an entire room built onto the back of his home. So he had a contract to come in, do 3 sides siding, and build a whole room on the back of his home, and it was $18,000. So, okay, I had actually called my neighbor at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and she said her husband knew the cost of their repairs and he wouldn't be home until 7. So I'm thinking, oh, he ain't going to be able to help us 5 hours later. But lo and behold, this guy was still in my home 5 hours later at 7 p.m. And when the neighbor called, it was 10 after 7. And that's when he told us don't sign on the dotted line, but the contractor happened to hear my conversation because it was on in another room on another phone. So he got kind of somewhat angry and had already called his office and said that the neighbor had discouraged us from signing the contract. Well, he did us a favor because I've decided since that we don't have $45,000. That's number one. Number two, I didn't want to get in debt for $57,000, which is what it would have eventually have cost us. And so I decided, hey, I think I called in another guy, the company that had put on our roof, and they're pretty good. And I'll mention their name, Jayhawk is good. And they gave us an estimate for siding and I believe windows as well. And what I decided to do, period, is to understand more about home improvements and home improvement loans, and also to just save, to make sure we don't have any structural damage in the meantime, and just save without getting into debt. So when I looked up some information about fixing up your home and how to finance it, lo and behold, I found HUD. That's HUD.gov. And I got this expression from HUD. Your home is an investment in living as well as in savings. If neglected, it will pay you no dividends. So this is from the HUD website. If properly maintained and improved, it will pay a high yield in comfort and usefulness for your family and in avoidance of costly repair bills. Home improvements also tend to raise neighborhood standards and as well property values. And from an economic point of view, home improvements means higher employment, increased markets for materials and home products, and therefore a more flourishing community. So if you maintain your home, it makes your community look better. With increased property values, though, your property taxes will increase. So if you do it yourself, if you are handy with tools and have the experience, you can save money by doing many jobs yourself. But unless you are skilled in wiring, plumbing, installing heat systems, and cutting through walls, if you're not skilled at that, you should rely on professionals for that type of work, okay? Rely on a professional electrician, a professional plumber, a professional heating and air conditioning company, and a professional window company, professional siding company, if that's the type of work you need on your home and you cannot do it, okay? So if you try to skimp and buy materials, what you need are products that look good, are easy to maintain, last a long time, and buy only from a reputable dealer. So HUD is saying if you decide to do the work yourself, know what you're buying. Buy good quality products that will hold up for the life of your home. Now, if you hire a contractor, if you plan to use the services of a dealer or contractor, take care to choose one with a reputation for honesty and good workmanship. And there are several ways to check on a contractor, and they have that in some real small print. But consult with your local Chamber of Commerce, the Better Business Bureau, the State Attorney General, or local Consumer Protection Agency. Talk with people for whom this done work. If your contractor is going to arrange for financing for your loan, find out which lender he uses. Call the lender and inquire. Check your contractor's place of business to make sure that he's not a fly-by-night operator. Find out, if you can, how he rates with known building products distributors and wholesalers. Yeah, because elderly people can get scammed, you know, and not so elderly people can get scammed as well. Ask friends and relatives for names of firms that they would recommend. Now, compare contractor offers. Before deciding on a contractor, you may want to get bids from two or three different firms. Make sure that each bid is based on the same specifications and the same grade of materials. If these bids vary widely, find out why. Many contractors offer package plans that cover the whole transaction, such as a plan the contractor provides all materials, takes care of all works, and even arranges for your loan. So that's what our first contractor had offered. Okay. Your contractor can make the loan application for you, but you are the one who must repay the loan. So you should see that the work is done correctly if you go with the contractor that's going to provide your loan. Now, here's a significant part of this article from HUD called Fixing Up Your Home and How to Finance It. Understand what you sign. Okay, I got to repeat that. Understand what you sign. The contract that both you and the contractors sign should state clearly the type and extent of home improvements to be made and the materials to be used. Before you sign, get the contractor to spell out the terms for you in exact words. How much the entire job will cost, how much interest you will pay, how will you pay the service charges, how many payments must you make, because you got to find out, is labor included, is labor extra, different materials that they offer, are they different from what you would like to have in your home? And like I said, make them spell out every single thing that they're going to do. Don't just accept promises because you know what, promises can be disappointing. So, and if you don't understand the contract, have your attorney review it before you sign, okay? Now, after the entire job is finished in the manner set forth in the contract, you then sign a completion certificate. By signing this paper, you certify that you approve the work and materials and you authorize the lender to pay the contractor the money you borrowed. Okay, so now the contractor is going to get paid that $45,000 that you borrowed, and you're now going to start paying the lender back the $45,000 with interest. Okay, and they're saying, again, to be fair of fraud, because most contractors are trustworthy, but then there are some out there who are not. Now, when it comes to financing improvements, HUD.gov can actually help you. And they say exactly what I said in the beginning. As a rule, the thriftiest way to finance home improvements is to pay in cash. So you better save your money, like I plan to do, to pay in cash. But if you lack the money to pay in cash, or you need an emergency roof or an emergency heating unit, then you must borrow. If you borrow the money for improvements, you should go to your own bank or lender and apply for a loan. Do not proceed with home improvement plans until you understand all the costs involved. Now, from HUD, there's such a thing called the Title I Property Improvement Loan Program, the Title I Property Improvement Loan Program. If the equity in your home is limited, say you can't take out an equity loan, the answer may be an FHA Title I loan. Now, I don't take equity loans. I find that they become burdensome because you're now paying off two loans, your mortgage and an additional loan, an equity loan. And equity loans, the interest rates to me are not always that favorable, and they can make or break your home. So if the equity in your home is limited, the answer may be an FHA Title I loan. Now, realize the government is not loaning you this money. They're actually just ensuring that the bank loans you the money. So banks and other qualified lenders make these loans from their own funds. The bank will make you the loan from their own funds, but the Federal Housing Administration, the FHA, insures the lender against possible loss. This loan insurance program is authorized by Title I of the National Housing Act. FHA-insured Title I loans may be used for any improvements that will make your home basically more livable and useful. You can use them for even dishwashers, refrigerators, freezers, and ovens that are built into the house and not freestanding. Now, you've seen people with these built-in ovens. When they remodel their kitchen, they need some built-ins in order to use the Title I loan. You cannot use them for certain luxury you cannot use them for certain luxury type items such as swimming pools or outdoor fireplaces. No, they will not give you the loan for that. And you cannot use them to pay for work already done. So you cannot go out and get work done and then ask for a Title I loan to pay for it. Title I loans can also be used to make improvements for accessibility to a disabled person, such as remodeling kitchens and baths for wheelchair access, lowering kitchen cabinets, installing wider doors and exterior ramps, etc. Another use is energy conserving improvements or solar energy. So if you want a Title I loan to assist someone who's disabled, or if you want to save money by using solar energy for your home, you can get a Title I FHA, Federal Housing Administration loan. Okay. Improvements can be handled on a do-it-yourself basis or through a contractor or dealer. Your loan can be used to pay for the contractor's materials and labor if you decide to do it with them. If you do the work yourself, only the cost of materials may be financed. So you cannot get a Title I loan and then pay yourself for labor. Okay. Some advantages of the Title I loan insurance program are you do not have to live in a particular area to get these loans. You seldom need any security for loans under $7,500. You do not need to disturb the current mortgage or deed on your home in order to get the loan. To obtain the loan, you need to own the property or have a long-term lease on it. Fill out a loan application that shows you are a good credit risk and execute a note agreeing to repay the loan. Your loan can cover architectural and engineering costs, building permit fees, title examination costs, appraisal fees, and inspection fees, which reminds me, this company, the first company, had told us that we had to pay the building permit fee. I told them I had never paid a building permit fee for a contractor. You are not hampered by a lot of red tape. Usually only the lender has to approve your loan, and you can give and get an answer within a few days. When the work is finished, you will need to furnish the lender with the completion certificate. You receive some protection from the wrong kind of dealer, because the FHA requires that any dealer who arranges a loan for you must first be approved by the lender. So I read that pretty fast. Title I Property Improvement Loan Program, maximum loan amounts and terms. Okay, the maximum amount for a single-family property improvement loan for the alteration, repair, or improvement of an existing single-family structure, the maximum amount is $25,000 under the Title I Property Improvement Loan and Program. And the maximum term of repayment is 20 years. So you can get $20,000 and spend 20 years repaying for the loan. For a multi-family property, the improvement loan for alteration, repair is $60,000, but you cannot spend more than $12,000 per unit in a multifamily dwelling, and they will give you $60,000, which can be repaired 15 years. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall. The name of my show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. My topic today, October 2nd, 2016, is home improvement and home improvement loans. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.